This is The Platform Rules, digital transformation for product companies, hosted by Propel Software. In recent years, the medical technology industry has embraced rapid innovation as the norm. From the use of software as medical device and the application of VR for therapies, there is seemingly no end to finding new ways of improving quality of life. We turn now to our guest, Nicole Cannon, founder and CEO of Cannon Quality Group, and Chuck Sarin, Propel's resident medtech expert, to understand the role of quality management in all this growth and change. Let's dive in.
Nicole, Chuck, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk today about digital transformation in medtech and specifically how technology is impacting quality management systems. You two have a ton of experience in this sector. So just briefly, give us your background and your experience so that the audience has context as to what you do. Nicole, let's start with you.
Yeah, I spend most of my day running an organization that helps startups and large organizations that require a quality management system. And so over the last 14 years, really helping people transition from those old paper systems into electronic, as well as, you know, the devices have moved more into electronic. So really in my day-to-day, all of what we do is watching this transformation, engage in the transformation. So that's why I'm excited about this topic and being here.
Great. And my name's Chuck Sarin, of course. You got my introduction here, but I've been about 4 years at Propel. My day-to-day revolves around industry marketing or product marketing, but I do interact a lot with sales, our customers, prospects, and even into the development roadmap to work on, you know, directional of where we're going. Prior to that, I was at Stryker for about 10 years. I deployed actually multiple PLM, QMS systems there, integrated to ERP, Oracle, SAP, worked on some digital transformation projects like augmented reality for service, where we're taking QMS procedures and putting that into an interactive AR environment for our global service centers. And you know, you asked a little bit about some of the benefits there. It's just huge cost savings and travel, training. Worked on a lot of acquisitions, you know, bringing acquisitions into the mix so you get your products, their bombs, their suppliers in as quickly as possible to get them selling products very quickly. So have been involved in a lot of different projects there, as well as prior to that, I was a consultant for over 10 years at several enterprise software companies like PTC, Agile, and Oracle.
All right, so we've got the right people in the room here. Let's start with the question that I get asked multiple times a week. And you talked a little bit about this in your intro, Nicole, the move from paper to digital. But, you know, what specifically is digital transformation and why do we hear about it so much?
In the purest sense, the way I look at it is digital transformation is integrating technology throughout and across your organization, and it fundamentally changing the way you operate. And when it comes to the QMS, I mean, talk about just a long awaited location where we could benefit from the digital transformation. We've been seeing it in the manufacturing floor. We've been seeing it in products over the last couple of decades, and it's definitely getting more steam and transition. I think quality regulatory people were a little hesitant, or organizations were hesitant, and we're seeing more of it now. We're seeing it snowball into more use and the benefits. Right? It's like early on we saw the benefits in manufacturing, right? You can see that was like the first place where people really wanted to get into the digital world, and they could see the benefits of having that very early data. And then it moved over into the technology, the products that we can help patients with sooner and help them manage their care. And then now we're going back and seeing how we can integrate it better into more of our business processes, relevant business processes. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I get pretty excited because it's been so many years we've talked as an industry that, you know, quality is supposed to be a constant feedback loop, right? And when we can move into digital transformation and we can really integrate all the tools into the quality realm, now we can really start those feedback loops and being much more effective with the data and the knowledge. And at the end of the day, help patients sooner and more effectively.
Yeah, Chuck, what about you? I mean, oh, sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'll add some comments to that. Yeah, I definitely agree with some of the, you know, from my perspective, some of the things about, you know, integrating different business applications or and people and processes, right? That is a very traditional in the sense of digital transformation. And I've seen that a lot of integrating ERP, CRM, talked about AR, VR, about common platforms. And I also been involved with, you know, sort of maximizing product portfolios to say like, you know, what products do we have? Which ones, which markets do we want to launch in? Kind of that PLCM approach, if you will. And I see it from like an enterprise context about getting everyone sort of onto that same platform, sort of working on sort of a single continuous product thread together. I think that's a little bit more of that sort of end-to-end thinking about how do we connect these people? How do we connect, you know, really the product quality commercial teams? How do we plan and prepare for like successful, you know, design transfers and launches, and really thinking about how it's going to, you know, basically go from concept to customer, right? Which is, I think, a couple of things you mentioned. And I think as we think about it from maybe a little bit, you know, departmental as opposed to enterprise, departmental or SMBs, we think a little bit about automating business processes, right? About real-time compliance. So we think about, you know, maybe being audit ready across both your quality teams, your products, your training, and getting like those right people involved at the right time. So you can get, you know, your workflows in place, your approvers, your processes, and how different people access it. That could be your partners, your suppliers, your notified bodies, you know, different people that are involved in also interacting and collaborating. It really extends beyond just internal, but to external as well, which we can talk a little bit more about later. And then the other digital transformations to mention, you know, sometimes you think about it more of an IT perspective, and like a very modern workplace, right? Where you want to give your employees kind of these latest cloud solutions. You want to have the ability to have this like ecosystem where you can, you know, deploy these integrations, you know, kind of aforementioned about ERP or CRM, and then just, you know, continuing to, from an IT standpoint, have that total cost of ownership low while you continue to grow to business needs that keep growing. And these are all part of transformations at different sizes and scale.
I mean, I'm hearing a lot of variation in the answers, not variation, maybe more breadth. It seems mm-hmm. like digital transformation. One of the things I always struggle with is there doesn't seem to be a defined or an agreed upon definition of what it is. And I've heard everything from connecting orgs to modernizing to digitizing. And again, I'm just trying to poke in, like, do either of you feel that digital transformation means one specific thing? Is it just modernizing technology? Is it embracing the latest and greatest? I'm just trying to get to, you know, in your opinion, when somebody comes and tells you they're looking for digital transformation, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Are they just looking to get off paper and go digital? Or are they looking to replace digital with something better? Again, no right or wrong answer. It's just trying to get a feel for your experience here.
I can mention, you know, it kind of depends who you're talking to as well. Because, you know, I was talking to a previous colleague, CIO of an ortho company, and, you know, his point was, you know, there's just so many disparate solutions out there. I just need to get onto a common platform. It's killing us as an organization. And that they were looking to get into a digital transformation and looking to get some advice from the industry, best practices. And that's a very big view of taking, you know, many systems and many very important processes and putting them on a platform and integrating them. So it that can be a very big view. Whereas if you're talking to a certain project that's funded as a quality only initiative, those digitalizations might actually be their transformation of, and that's where I was kind of going with that thought, is it depends who.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think what you're observing, Dario, is 100% what's out there, in the sense that not everybody has the same definition. And like Chuck said, it does depend on who. For me, I think transformation is really that next process. You know, a lot of moving just from paper into digital isn't transformative to me. It's when we start really looking at processes, stepping back and not just doing the same processes that we did in paper in an electronic format, but really, really leaning in and seeing how much having this access in a digital way can really transform how we see and affect our designs or affect our manufacturing. to be able to link, like Chuck said, those suppliers and their data to our design data and our customer feedback data, and have that all linked in one tool, and be able to really affect change and iterate our designs better, or affect patient safety better than just these kind of linear, which paper was very linear, right? It's only as good as the user can put in an Excel spreadsheet and still just kind of linearly address what they want to do. Whereas the digital transformation really gives us the opportunity to transform how we look at things and bring data in differently. And you're right, it does get back to who you're talking to, right? Yeah. Not everybody. Like, that's what I get excited about. I'm like, oh, we can do this differently now.
So is that why you're hearing so much of this in med tech today? Because of the ability to impact patients and designs, is there something that's driving this wave of digital transformation that you're seeing in the med tech industry today?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the med tech industry, as we know, sort of is held sometimes to, you might call it, a higher standard in regulations, of course. And those increased regulations sometimes are at odds of getting products to market quickly. But, you know, the focus here is best outcomes. You said it right. And having better outcomes, as opposed to just, you know, building to product specs or building to just to attain compliance, is what's, I think, companies are seeing really helps better with better brand reputation, better customer lifetime value. And, you know, it fulfills that notion of, you know, let's increase the regulations and make safer, effective products. And you have to figure out how to become efficient within your digital transformations, you know, to support that. And I think, you know, good case in point is, you know, post-market regulations have been really high, and for a good reason, because we want to get customer voice of the customer, you know, input back, and we want to see what's happening post-market, because there's such a big focus on achieving those regulations. And, you know, getting that inputs from the voice of the customer, your customers, but also your distributors or subsidiaries, what's happening, maybe clinical. And I think that leads to, you know, transformations around how do we solve that problem faster? How do we, and, you know, I like to call it the incident to resolution time, right? Is you want to be able to dive in really quickly and say, I have a problem, and I don't want to just investigate and report it and, you know, stop the bleeding and do corrections. But I want to actually get in and find what the root cause is. What's that global impact? And I think understanding where is that product used, you know, across different product lines, or, you know, which hospitals is it being used in, you know, from like a serialized asset standpoint, and which software are they using? Which revision are they using? But also, where is it sourced? Like, you know, who supplied that product? Which supplier? How are they doing, you know, from a performance standpoint? And are they going to have other problems on other products that they provided? So I'm thinking about this as all really important in med tech, because as you start to dive in, what's the impact? It can be all of that. Where used, where sourced, where sold and serviced, and then, you know, resolving that really quickly. And, you know, we've seen customers that have been able to, you know, decrease this by over 30% at some of our biggest customers. And I think that's just a really important element.
Yeah. Sorry, you have me in thought. I also, you know, when I step back, I also feel like there's kind of a snowballing effect that's occurring that's helping elevate it in med tech. You know, as a world, we as people have gotten used to having such more access to tools that give us data on ourselves, right? Our own health data, our own, you know, personal digital transformations. And you couple that with, you know, previously the industry was very technology adverse, right? And then now as people get more comfortable, the FDA has certainly gotten more comfortable because they're moving a lot of their technology, you know, they're leveraging the technology, they're seeing it. And plus you have the years of COVID where people kind of got moved into. And I just feel like when I step back, I feel like there's just this kind of cool snowballing as people have kind of, I don't know if this is a crossing the chasm moment, you know, finally they've gotten comfortable, and then it just like picks up speed, and you can see really how much, you know, how much more we can do with less, you know, because I know that's a challenge for a lot of startups and bigger companies. We have to figure out how to deal with less funding, you know, and at the same time, the data that we can get from making this change provides new insight into getting funded or into new branches. I'm thinking of like larger organizations that are realizing that some of the things they were doing in clinical is actually very transformative for their product line, and they can develop new products and they have the insight into it because they're using technology in this way. And it's just another place where this transformation is occurring, because you couldn't see it before, right? Now you can see data in all these different locations and bring it forward. I kind of went down a path, but I really think there's just a snowball that's occurring with comfort in technology.
Yeah, I'll add to that, because that goes right on the notion of, innovations. Like you're talking about in med tech, the innovations are amazing. You talk about software as a medical device, or we have customers that are doing, this cognitive behavioral therapy. It's, something old that's new, and you throw on a headset from, whatever brand you can, that's making these VR headsets. And then you create this software to help people with PTSD or anxiety.
Physical therapy. You can get to an office, yeah. Right? It's fantastic. Yeah.
It's amazing. And these innovations are going right into med tech, and they're becoming devices. It's so neat to watch. I could extend that to, some catheter companies we talked to, and there's just so many different intended uses of them. And there's one I talked to recently that had a very novel endoscope capability. They're extending it from cardio to, from GI to cardio to miniaturizing to all bronchial to all these other things. And they're actually inventing a robot too now. And, a couple of our customers are actually adding robotics to it. So it's when you use that word snowball, I can't help think about all these different companies and what they're doing. And if you don't mind, Dario, I'll mention one more idea is the pivoting. I have my Ember mug right next to me, and this is a type of thing where they're taking technology of heating up coffee mugs, and now they're doing cryogenic temperature controlled cubes for pharma shipping and replacing lots of waste and sustainability, because they're creating these really amazing cubes. Kohler doing like bathroom fixtures. Now every fixture can become a medical device, right? And we don't need to go into those details. But point being is that there's just so much going on that's incredible on innovation. I can't stop talking about it. Thanks.
So it sounds a couple of things that you both mentioned that I'd love to just get your opinions on here. So one, Chuck, you just mentioned the convergence, right? It feels like every medical device is a high-tech device that's connected. It feels like every high-tech device can become a medical device, to your point. So we're seeing this convergence. And with that, you would expect that just COVID and the technology adoption, we saw that was accelerated across all industries. I would expect that here as well. But Nicole, you also mentioned the FDA getting more comfortable with technology. So how much of that is the real barometer of how fast med device manufacturers can embrace technology? I mean, is it ultimately dictated by the FDA's pace of change, or is it going to be more dictated by the overall market is embracing technology and is going to force it? I just don't know if these are two opposing forces, or if it's actually something that is working in a little bit more symbiotic here.
100%, I think it's symbiotic. The industry needs to bring it to the FDA, and the FDA needs to, make the changes and get comfortable. I don't think it's a chicken or egg. I think it's both. I think, FDA understanding how to regulate it and how to lead it. And at the same time, what, 20 years ago, very early on, industry wasn't comfortable with how to do electronic signatures, right? So it's both. It's right. The industry has to push it. FDA needs to get ahead of it. And then people need to get comfortable with it. And it's just kind of back and forth. I know you can't see me moving, but it's this kind of back and forth dynamic that occurs. I think it's like everything with the FDA. It's industry needs to bring it forward, much like the femtech that we're starting to see, or the diversity in devices and making sure that we're focusing on underserved populations. Like that's we're leaning into that as an industry. and FDA is now, you know, also leaning into it. It's very much the similar analogy to digital, right? You know, we needed to start pushing it, and then they start seeing that they have to, you know, help us respond and then lead us. It's like kind of, it's definitely a very symbiotic, I think.
Okay, excellent. So, well, Chuck, did you have something there? I didn't mean to cut you
off. No, I mean, I can only add just the points that you're making resonate, of course. And I think the FDA has, you know, moved faster in several regards, to your point, embracing technology, but, you know, things like CSA, you know, computer system assurance, things that allow companies to move a little faster, harmonization with ISO 13485. I mean, there's just a more progressive stance. You know, you see releases on AI, ML, you know, they're trying to constantly keeping up. And I could say on the flip side, we're seeing a lot more companies looking to, you know, we see these small companies want to launch in the US first, where, you know, it's sort of flipped in the EU with the MDR regulations has kind of caused people to sort of hesitate going there first. And that's a whole nother topic, but point, you know, those are the things that come to mind as you're talking about those.
Okay. All good stuff. Excellent. So let's drill down then into quality management systems specifically. So as you think about how technology has impacted QMS providers, I think this is where we've seen just a lot of innovation over the years. So Nicole, let's start with you on this. How have you seen the whole digitalization and digital transformation impact QMS systems?
Yeah, I'm gonna go back one of the biggest impacts is this idea that we've had in industry for decades that the quality system should be kind of a feedback, cross-departmental, cross-products. It should be a constant feedback. And it was really laborsome. I don't even know, is that a word? I don't know if I just made a word. labor-intensive and not highly reliable with the such manual techniques in the past, whereas now, which is really exciting to me, but, you know, now quality can be less of a burdensome department and burdensome system when you can leverage technology across all the business processes, like we've talked about, whether it's, you know, the design through the suppliers, through the customers, and internal manufacturing, external manufacturing, all the pieces that we can layer on top of each other in a quality system and apply risk. And it's not, you know, you don't have one product manager who's trying to remember if the risk file addressed these pieces, right? Or have these meetings at some frequency with numerous panels of people. Instead, we can have technology help us highlight and see what's going on, and then we can have meetings. It really makes so much for me. I look at it and I step back and I think I'm so excited for companies because they can spend more of their money now addressing needs for the patient and evolving their devices and getting more solutions that I feel are going to be safer because we have this ability to really see across our organization more clearly and then elevate the solutions versus having, you know, so much time spent to trying to bring up the data and then hoping it's accurate and hoping across spreadsheets, right? Now we can really look at this data and these processes. I mean, it's just so many things that simplify. I mean, you get even down to just, you know, making sure your team's trained is a simple one, but it's a very burdensome process for a lot of people. And that doesn't even get into the domino effects of product and customer feedback. But just to simplify so many of these pieces and make it so that your, again, quality department doesn't have to be so burdensome as a department or as a system, and really make it more useful in the way that we've been hoping it could be useful for decades.
Yeah, I agree with that, Nicole. I think quality has got to, you know, has become more of a valuable, like, business partner, if you will, where they can provide value, not just looking to comply, but actually starting to think about, you know, we talk about better outcomes or, you know, being able to maintain quality better. You talk about the training and the visibility here, which I think is really important. You know, we've often seen documentation is kind of stuck in a locker room somewhere or in a room boxed up or inaccessible, even if it's an e-file or e-folder. So we got to get out of operating as a silo. And you know, I talk about one of the things I really love to see is like, you know, different departments moving earlier into the NPD process so that they can actually design for quality or design for regulatory earlier, much earlier, as opposed to hiring a quality person, you know, well beyond when all the R&D is almost done and trying to work in hindsight. We actually see that quite a bit. And the quality initiative happens, you know, very late for a startup or early stage company. And then I think the other thing, there's two other things coming to mind. One is just, you know, being audit ready. So having the right tools for that. I remember one of my past companies, when we were first, before we implemented an automated system, it was a war room and printing things out. And, you know, the auditor asked for something to be a couple hours before they get it. And then after a very short time of deploying an integrated PLM QMS system, they would just turn the screen and say, is this what you wanted? Is this what you wanted? And had a much more confidence in their audits and being audit ready. And then I think you mentioned another idea here too. It was adding and layering on more things, right? Because the quality person can now take on more. And I think that one of the words that comes to mind is this, just the whole product idea of, you know, sort of being able to design quality up front, but also adding things like environmental or regulatory compliance to that product. So which standards are supported, you know, from like an environmental compliance, is it REACH or ROS? You know, these fall into the quality avenue here a bit. And even, you know, it can touch on availability and costs or preferred or alternate sources of supply. And I think this, you know, Dara, you ask about benefits out of this too, is it starts to reduce your cost of quality. You know, that could be around 20% and more of cost of goods sold. So we're seeing things like that emanate out by involving quality more often earlier and with the right tools is what I see.
So it's interesting. You both, go ahead, Nicole.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was going to say, so you both talked about what a quality management system can do and modernizing, but you both interestingly started with the benefits outside of the quality team. So Nicole, you talked about that feedback loop to the other parts of the organization, and Chuck, I think you mentioned specifically quality being a business partner to the other parts of the organization. So is this, you know, one of the key differences that you're seeing with more, you know, modern solution or going down that whole digital transformation, is what you can do with quality information outside of the quality team? I mean, and again, I want to misinterpret, but you both started with the value outside of the quality team when giving your answers here.
Yeah, you know, the first response that comes to me is, you know, one of the biggest hurdles in being a quality leader is getting users involved from other departments. And now this change makes it compelling. It gets it out of, like Chuck was saying, with documents. It's the same with the quality department data. It gets it out of just being in this closed room with this, you know, department who's just trying to make sure you stay in compliance, and that's all kind of hidden. Instead, it's it's this accessible data that people are doing their normal processes, and through that, as a result, the quality department can observe and gather data versus try and force people to change their process and get data. Right now, it's just kind of, because of the digital tools, if we can apply them in a non-paper system way, people are just going about doing their work. And I think of the sales team as one of the most difficult ones to try and put into a process that doesn't work for them, right? And so now if we can connect with them through their process and their tools and the data is coming in, it's and then now they want the data. Wait, like, how many complaints are we getting? How many times is this not working? And the other department's starting to see the benefit of the information through what they do and how and their priorities. I didn't even realize that when I was saying it, but it's true. It just elevates across the organization, and it does parlay into a better business partner relationship, like Chuck was saying.
All right. So good. Let me Let's move on here. I want to make sure we're going to run out of time here. We're going a little bit long, but just a couple more questions for the two of you. One of the things that I'm always amazed that there are a lot of quality management systems in the market today. And Nicole, I know that you get a lot of companies coming to you asking for advice. So how do you help them choose which QMS is best for them? Is there a framework? Is there a process? Questions to be asked? How would you answer that question if somebody comes to you and says, help me find a QMS?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of questions. And, you know, the top of the iceberg for me is, you know, first understanding how big the organization is, and the users of just like any software, any solution, the users, right? Do you have people who have been in industry a long time? Do you have people who are new to industry? Do you have people who are comfortable with software, people who aren't comfortable with software? Depending on your user, you're going to have, you know, are we ready for a more transformative software, or are we ready for a software that's going to mimic paper processes a little more because of what your base is? And then I think it's really important to understand the company's goals and milestones over the next 3 to 5 years also. What is the technology that they're developing? What's their path to commercialization? Are they just looking to be purchased? Are they actually looking to build a company and get commercial? And again, also the technology, because depending on if it's software heavy or mechanically or electrically heavy, or if they're engaging with a lot of suppliers, there are some systems who don't even let you engage with outside people, right? And so what is the company's overall goal and focus? Because this is a foundation. You want to make sure you build your foundation and you're not going to have to change. So how do you help the company see where they're going and think about the tools that are going to help them get there? And those are the priorities, right? Like, who do you have, what's your technology, and where are you trying to go, if I had to sum it up into three?
Yeah. And I'd go on that same context is the smaller sort of startup. I love to call some of them rocket ships. Are starting with nothing. So it's pretty easy to shop for a solution. But, you know, these are typically experienced folks that have been in their third or fourth or fifth startup, or they're coming from a big med tech company. And, you know, they want to choose something that they can grow into. And they want to choose something that is, you know, going to be able to adapt to their business needs. Like you said, they want to think about the path to commercialization, the path even earlier. You want to think about design transfer and how am I going to work with my suppliers? How am I going to start to structure my DMR and pass it off to, you know, a CM to build it and keep that in control? And what tool will allow me to actually securely share subassemblies or makes or buys? And what do I want to share and with who? And I think they need to think, you know, beyond just the first point of getting something into the system, but something that will grow into launching, commercializing, and even to the point earlier about, you know, post-market focus. And you know, even though they're early stage, they might want to be thinking about that. And of course, if they're mid-sized and they're doing next generations, or they're, like we talked about, extending intended uses, you need a system that can adapt to those growing needs. Acquisitions might have slightly different processes that you need to adapt to and have, you know, different workflows, different people for different product lines. And those are just many things that come to mind as you start to talk about, you know, extending out your product to the different people, the different departments, the different acquisitions. And then, you know, obviously a much bigger company might be looking to just wholeheartedly replace a full system that was on-prem and old, and they just want to move to the cloud. And you talked about picking a QMS. You know, you want something that is modern, something that is going to give you real-time dashboards, going to give you real-time feedback, going to give you, you know, have users that want to use this and adopt this. You know, we have a much younger workforce today too that wants these tools. So I think those are, you know, I could keep going on and on about the different things of how to choose a QMS, but I think those touch on and relate to some of your points.
Okay, so let's build on that. And this will be the last question here. You talk about moving from manual, you talk about moving from on-prem, and it feels like we're in the middle of that now. But if you fast forward ahead, you know, 5-10 years from now, where do you think the market is going? What are the trends that people should be thinking of when they're making their choices on which QMS to buy? And I think just in general, where do you think you're going to see, I like to call them the haves and the have-nots, those that are really embracing this constant digital transformation and evolution, where will they be in 5 to 10 years versus those who are sticking to manual processes or maybe a legacy solution that isn't going to have all the bells and whistles of a modern cloud? Chuck, you gave that last answer going through the breadth from small to large. So let's start with you on this one.
Yeah, I'll add that, you know, somebody that wants to stay the 5 years ahead, they want to be on a technology and platform that is already jumped in ahead and they're on the latest, greatest technology built on that and will can sustain innovation paths that will reflect that. You know, we see that in companies that do multiple releases a year and add a lot of innovations. We see it in, you know, we talked about real-time dashboards and analytics, not, you know, something that's stored and needs a report writer to do. I think having a system where all of the modules work together seamlessly, you know, I know it sounds simple, but as simple as from documents over to your training so that, you know, when one changes, the training plans and assignments kick off automatically. Or when you're handing off your product design, that it comprises all your parts and docs and specs and procedures. And you can, you know, I talked about sharing interactively with your suppliers. You have a supplier portal that is set up for that to share information, whether that is a partner, a subsidiary, a distributor, having those kind of technology plays in place. I think even being able to develop sort of app-like, you know, kind of like an iPhone app, if you will, for each of the different departments so that, you know, maybe your packaging department might have a certain look and feel when they log in, or your training admin has a certain look and feel, your supplier or your manufacturing, you can create these sort of different apps for the user so that, you know, they only see what they need to see. And that all comes along with a modern platform and a cloud platform.
To add to that, what I see is, I think two things come to mind. One is, you know, the solutions that make you maybe a little uncomfortable when you think about them, because they're so, they're taking us out of, you know, comfortable are solutions that basically mimic what we already do, and they're electronic, right? So there's a place where I keep all my control documents, and everybody goes to those control documents the same way. Some of the transformative ones that are looking ahead realize that, why do we all have to get there the same way? As long as we get to that source and we all have an agreed source, as long, and it's kind of like Chuck was saying, if we can have apps for department, each department functions differently. So if each department gets to that data a different way, it doesn't matter, as long as we have unified data and we can all get to it, right? We don't have, it's not these siloed locations. Secondly, it's, when I say uncomfortable, it's, the organizations that are starting to push us out of the way we did things, because we realize that some of the ways that we do things are because it was based in paper. And so we don't need to do those, check those boxes as much anymore or have that flow anymore. We can really crack it open. And yet it's a delicate balance, as you guys know, when you're developing that solution, because you have to come from where we are. If you make it too uncomfortable, people can't get there, right? So you want to see, you know, like Chuck was saying, you want to see a company that has that forward look, that is transitioning, that gets it, right? There's the sound bites that you're hearing from them are saying, like, look, this is getting us away from processes that were built on paper, right? We don't need these processes anymore. Like the questions you're asking, if we have that in our solution, really don't apply when we're not in paper anymore, right? Trying to help the users see that if we really want to be transformative, if we really want to get the benefits of what a software tool can do for us, we can change how we've been doing things, which is really exciting, but it's a delicate balance, right? You can't go too far. And I would say, you know, the other pieces, solutions that are, you know, what is in their roadmap when they look out 5 years, 10 years for their product to change? Are they, how are they iterating those
versions, you know, what is on their vision to iterate their product that's going to continue to move us into a more transformative solution base.
All right. I feel like I had a few more questions on my list. We're going to run out of time. I really did want to get into data, AI, which is becoming more and more prevalent. So I think we're going to have to cap this one for today and come back for a part two, really digging into some of this more futuristic capabilities and what AI is going to do to the industry. So we'll come back for that. But in the meantime, any parting advice that you would give to a company looking at QMS providers, whether it's upgrading what they have or moving from paper to a digital solution? Anything we haven't already covered that you'd like to add? We'll start with you, Nicole.
Yeah, and actually I meant to say this in our last question is that I think it's best to look for a solution that does not keep you back in that closed room. There's some solutions out there that make it difficult to work outside with others or make it difficult to transfer your data and bring data in. That's not transformative. That's not moving forward. You want a solution that is more accepting of other software, more integrative, more allowing of other, you know, outside people outside your organization to interact and come in and move your data forward. When it's in that closed room, kind of like Chuck was saying, when it looks too much like that protected space, then that's not progress.
Yeah, I could add, you know, to summarize, because we've talked about a lot of this prior, is, you know, just picking a system you can grow with, right? That's going to adapt to your business processes. And, you know, as you mentioned, working with all of the cross-functional teams, both internal and external, as you mentioned. Obviously, a modern platform. So we talk about cloud SaaS is, you know, something that is almost a de facto standard today of where you want to go in a platform that can and will accommodate that. Easy to use and well adopted goes hand in hand with that. And then really just keep it simple. As you want to deploy the product, you have a choice. You could choose and deploy it, you know, within weeks, even including a validated state with, you know, depending on what you choose is your scope. If you're a very small up and going company, or, you know, you can do it in different phases of eventually, as you mentioned, the ability to launch to product and BOMs and suppliers and, you know, eventually commercialization pieces as well. And having a product that can accommodate all those phases for you as you grow. And the only other thought I have is, you know, don't try to do all the business process optimization in the launching of your phases. Try to have, you know, some of those in place. I've seen that. And that's something we see too much time and time again, but you know, hopefully your company has the that you're working with has the expertise to help you out with that, which they do. And then, you know, have lots of successful and great, happy customers.
So Nicole, I know this is audio, but I wish the audience could see you laugh when Chuck mentioned, don't try to do everything out of the gate. It sounds like that's another topic that we should dig into for next time. So I'll put this on our list for our part two of this episode here.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Chuck, Nicole, appreciate the time you spent with us. Again, just thank you for sharing your insights with us here today.
Thank you for listening to The Platform Rules, Digital Transformation for Product Companies. You can listen to this show and more at propelsoftware.com/podcasts. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share with a colleague, leave a review, or email us at podcast@propelsoftware.com with any feedback or questions. Until next time, Platform Rules.